So thank you for coming back. There's a passage in the book of St. John, and we're going to get to it. Sandra? Hey, girl. Oh, my goodness. When I stand before you, I want to give you what thus says the Lord, right? Stay where you're at. And I want to give you what thus says the Lord. Because he speaks when we read this, amen? And then the Spirit of God also speaks to your heart and your mind based on this. When he speaks to your heart and mind, it's always going to line up with this. If something comes to your heart and mind that doesn't line up with this, that is not the Spirit of God speaking to you. All right? But I want you to embrace both ways of him speaking. Because what we want is to have this relationship with the Spirit of God. Right? And it starts out through acknowledgement of him. As I said last Sunday about the dove representing the Holy Spirit resting upon Jesus and remain, right? And he lived a life fully aware of the presence of the Spirit of God. So those of you wondering, I've started my sermon, so don't think, oh, when he goes to start a sermon, so we got to go watch the 49 before the game get over with. That's all right. It's all right. The Spirit of God is present because he's omnipresent, right? But we choose to be conscious of his presence. We choose to do that. Kids don't have it today, but when I was growing up, we had these AM, FM radios. Kids say, what's the AM, FM radio? What is that? And you would turn the dial, right, to a certain frequency, right? And you would hear what is coming over the airwaves. Now watch this. Just because you turn the radio off does not mean that it's not still sending out messages over the airwaves. Right? When you make a decision to turn that radio on and turn the dial to get that frequency, you can hear what's being said from that station. I want you to know the Spirit of the Lord is always speaking. But we have to be sensitive enough to adjust our dial to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So, in the Bible, Jesus goes through Samaria. He sends his disciples off to get some supplies. While he was there, he goes to this well and he meets a woman. We define her as the Samaritan woman, right? The woman at the well. And so he gets in a conversation with her, right? And he says to her, you know, go and tell your husband, right? And she says, I have no husband. He says, you said well, because, you know, you had a number of husbands, right? And the one you're with right now is really not your husband, right? And then she says, oh, I perceive that you're a prophet. And then she tries to become, you know, religious and says, you know, we worship this way. And Jesus made this statement to her. And it's like this. It says, The Father is seeking for someone to worship him. And you know, worship him in spirit and truth. Just he's seeking someone to worship him, meaning that he is actively looking for men and women. Watch this. Who will host his presence in their life. He is actively looking for men and women who will allow the dove to rest upon them and remain. The question is, will you be one of those? Because he is actively looking for someone, somewhere to be hosted. And wherever he is hosted, lives are transformed. David tried to bring the Ark of the Covenant into town. He didn't know exactly how to do it. And so he had people carrying it the wrong way. Something happened. They stumbled. The ark was going to fall. Uzziah grabbed it, not wanting to fall, but didn't understand that carried the presence of God. And there was a certain way to host it. And the Bible says that he was immediately struck down. Like, David got frustrated. Okay, let's just take it to Obed-Edom's house. Leave it there. If you read the story, the Bible says once the presence of God, which was represented by the Ark of the Covenant, came to Obed-Edom's house, everything that Obed-Edom did was blessed because of the presence of God that was there. He is actively searching for somewhere, someone to rest. Will that be you? This sermon series about the Holy Spirit is an introduction. It's getting acquainted again, understanding his role and what he wants to do. We say, well, how does that look, Pastor? Well, how do we host the Holy Spirit? So years ago, my wife's oldest brother came to spend a couple of days with us from Arkansas. And so my wife decided when her brother and sister-in-law would come, we were going to host them, right? I said, okay, that's fine. And then she made this comment or statement that they're going to have our master bedroom. Which included the master bathroom. And we were going to take a secondary bedroom and a secondary bathroom because we were getting ready to host her brother and her sister-in-law. I said, okay, that's fine. We will host them. Hosting the Spirit of God means this. I always give him preference. I always defer to him. What he wants, that's what I provide for him. You will notice the more that you are conscious of his presence, the dove resting on your shoulder, that your decisions that you make are now based on what he wants and no longer what you want. Even to the point, and I've said this on a number of occasions, even to the point of what you watch. Because you are hosting the presence of God. It changes everything that you do in your normal day-to-day life. And that change begins to affect everyone around you because of his presence. How do I say this? It's like this. You don't work to receive the Spirit of God. You welcome him into your life. You are welcome, Spirit of God, in my life. When you receive the Spirit of God, you receive an advocate. An advocate is like an attorney, right? And I've shared this with you before. I'm going to share it briefly with you again, this story. Me and Brother Osby Davis, we going out to lunch. We have lunch together. We're eating our lunch, and he has represented the church and some things that we were dealing with. And even though he was representing us, I have an issue with controlling situations. Am I by myself? How many controllers we have in the house today? Wow, that many. And so, you know, even though I know he represents us, I went around and wanted to do, you know, what I thought was best at that time. And so we're eating food, and he brings that subject up, and he says, very briefly, he says, "Don't do that again." Yes, sir. Okay. See, the Spirit of God is our advocate, not our assistant. See, an assistant helps you with your agenda, right? But an advocate provides a direction for you. Don't say a word. Only say what I tell you to say. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive an advocate and not an assistant. Amen? All right, so give me about 12 minutes. I'm going to make some comments, give you some points, and let you go. Is that all right? But before I do that, I want you to, you got to be aware and be mindful that you host the Spirit of God. If you've been born again, you host the Spirit of God. You host it. And so everything that you do must be done in preference to him. And if you're courageous enough to do that, you'll see things change in your environment. Yes. You can live in such a way as you host the Spirit of God that you become drenched with his anointing, even to the point of your clothing becoming drenched with his anointing. The Bible says that aprons that Paul would have, because they were on him, they took those aprons, laid them on sick, and they were made whole. I'm not talking about trying to market that anointing, but I'm going to sell you a handkerchief or a towel. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the anointing be so heavy on you because you're walking in such a consciousness of his presence that everything that you touch changes things around you. Do you want that? We're not there yet, but this is where we're going. We're going to a place that there'll be no more restrictions on our praise and worship. No more restrictions. We're no longer going to believe the lie that, oh, that's just for Tremaine, that's just for James. No, all of us, we're going to give honor and glory and shout praise unto him. The Bible says this in Psalms 150. It says, let or allow everything that has breath praise the Lord. This is why I say this to even unsaved people. You too can praise the Lord. Huh? Well, what do we praise the Lord for? You ain't dead in hell. So you praise the Lord. You still got life. You have another chance. Amen? Glory to God. All right, go with me in your Bible. Thanks, John. Go with me in your Bible to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And I'm going to read verses. Do I have 15 through 18? Do I have that? I think I do. Good. Here's verse 15 from John chapter 14. Let's read it together. You ready? If you love me, obey my commandments. All right, let me, what's this? And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another, what, advocate, who will never leave you. Give me the next one. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth, right? Now, the world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. The Spirit of God isn't our advocate. He is not our assistant. He gives us direction on what to do and what not to do. He convicts us of sin and says, that's not right the way you treated him. You have been convicted of sin before. You know, you said something you had no business saying, and the Spirit of God convicts you of sin. That's what he does. He also energizes you with power. There are a lot of people who are anxious about the future, but when you recognize the Spirit of God, you're no longer anxious about the future because, you know, he's got it. I think the worship team sang a song, but he made a way. Don't know how. Huh? Don't know how. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My wife goes through the mail. She'll open up the mail. Ooh, the mail. This is what she won't open up. The bills. She'll just leave them on the counter. In her mind, she said, I don't know how he's going to do it. I ain't worried about it. He's going to get it done. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to pay them bills. Now, if it's a check in the mail, and this is the truth, if it's a check in the mail, and she can tell, she will open up that check. But if it's a bill, John, she won't open it up. So I don't know how he gonna pay it. In fact, I ain't worried about it. I'm just gonna be chilling on the couch with my iPad and just taking it easy. He gotta figure it out. Glory to God. I want you to know when you have the Spirit of God, He will figure it out. He will direct you what to do and when to do it. He is present with you, understands what you're going through, what your needs are. He will provide direction for you so you don't need to fret. Psalms 27:1 says this, the Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? Hallelujah. He is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? Why am I going to trip when I know the Spirit of God rests in me? Glory to God. See, when you're in difficult times, it's easy to listen to yourself. Stop doing that. Listen to the Spirit of God. See what the Word of God says about you. Brother Osby says it in Sunday school all the time. Listen, you got to read this. Because it speaks about you and what God wants to do on your behalf. And when you get this down in your knower, when you get this down in you, I don't care what anyone else says, you know what God says about you. Listen, my girls, my daughters, they know their daddy loves them. They know that. If someone were to tell them, oh, your daddy really don't love you, they would say, you a lie, because my daddy loves me. I love, they know that. They know that. I want you to know the Spirit of God loves you. And he's going to provide for you. Amen? Spirit of God at times will, well, not all time, but time will speak to you through his word, but also to your mind. He doesn't need the ear gate to speak to your mind. He can speak directly to your mind and tell you what needs to be done. Now, there are times when you're in prayer, watch this, and you're praying, and then a thought comes into your mind, right? And a lot of times we thought that was the devil. Not always. Sometimes God just reminded you of what you need to do because he cares about every situation that you're facing. Amen? He gives us power. He gives us direction. He enriches us with love. He gives us the ability to love others. See, love is a great force. It is, love is a force that overcomes fear. The opposite of fear is love. The difference between love and fear is this. Love looks for opportunities to give. Fear is self-protecting. See, love looks for ways. How can I be a blessing? How can I give? Fear is I got to protect myself. I got to keep mine. That's why I can't give to you. I got to keep mine. Love causes us to move forward toward other people, but fear causes us to withdraw from others. Love is a sign of trust, and fear is a sign of doubt. When I love you, I'm going to want to trust you. If I love you, I want to move towards you, not away from you, because I love you. Love is the opposite of fear. The enemy wants you to live your whole life in fear, not trusting anyone. And I know you've been hurt. And you say, oh, I ain't gonna trust. I won't use a woman, I'll use a man because I'm a man. Some men get burnt. You know what I mean by getting burnt? Yeah. Get burnt. I'm just, forget all women. I just ain't going to. I know you've been burnt, but every woman not bad. Amen? You just got hold of the wrong one. Amen? Glory to God. Don't throw everyone out. I know that love in this day and age has lost some meaning because we often transfer sex equals love, right? And so we, you know, but no, 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 no. I mean, sex is a part of love, right? But it's not in total. And so, but we've lost our understanding of what real love is. Affection takes time in affirming others. The Spirit of God will help you show affection by affirming love toward other people. He will help you with that. He will show you how to do that. Another part of love is friendship. It's deep and deeply felt in it. And it's like, you. How many have a real friend? Wow, that's huge. Did you raise your hand? You did. You need a friend. And you may say, well, you know, all I need is God. I don't need God. So the narrative in Genesis was this. God saw everything that he had made. Adam had named all the animals. And God makes this comment. And he said, it ain't good for man to be alone. You were designed to be in community, right? Not just with God, but yes, with God, but with others as well. And the Spirit of God helps you to be in community and shows you how to love. And if you allow him, he will love through you. And and demonstrate God's love to other people around you, if you let them. We talk about agape love, which is this highest form of love. It is, and you can't show this type of love without the Spirit of God loving through you. It is this unconditional love that is not based on another person's actions. I'll say it again. This agape love that can only do this through the Spirit of God is this type of love that is not based on another person's actions. Meaning this, it doesn't matter how they act, I'm still going to love them. And that's a hard type of love. Amen? You can't do this on your own. Because people are funny. And people, some people are not dependable. So, yeah. And people lie. And we're so accustomed to lying that people who hear us speak know that we are lying. And they don't pay much attention to what we have to say. Here's a phrase that I want you to carefully consider whether you want to say this or not. I'll be there in a minute. What does that mean? I'll be there in a minute. For some, you know what it means, they ain't left the house yet. For some, it means they're on their way. But rarely does it mean I'm really going to be there in a minute. Right? And then the Spirit of God will begin to caution you about what you say, because every word is vital, because your words have power. And people listen to what you say, and they base they look at you through your words and how true you are to your words. And if you say you're going to be somewhere and not, they look at you funny. And the Spirit of God is within us saying, don't say things like that anymore, because we're not going to be there in a minute. We ain't even left yet. How many use that term? Go ahead and just, yeah, right. I'm turning my back. I won't look at you. Stop saying it. Listen and be guided by the Spirit of God. He wants to guide you in all truth. If you look at the narrative of the New Testament, Jesus didn't go say any idle words. Everything that he said was truth. Jesus lived a life here on earth to demonstrate what is possible to all of us. It is possible to walk in truth, and we are commanded to do it, but only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a story. Some of you who are 50 or over, you'll know this. A guy named Gale Sayers. Anybody remember Gale Sayers? Oh, you okay? He had everyone within their 20s saying, "Who is that, Gale Sayers?" He was a football player for the Chicago Bears, and he had a roommate, and his name was Brian Piccolo. You can go look at the movie called Brian's Song, and you'll see the love they had for each other. Up until then, there wasn't very much race relations in the NFL. And this time, the first time a black man roomed or dormed with a white man happened on the Chicago Bears with Gale Sayers and Brian Piccolo. And they became friends. Deep friends, where they loved each other so much. And they were both running backs for the Chicago Bears, and they had promising futures. And then I think the second year, maybe third year, Brian Piccolo contracted cancer. And he thought he could kind of stay with the team, but he realized that he just couldn't do it. And every year they had this George Halas Award that they would give out for men with courage. And this year they had picked Gale Sayers to be the man of courage. And I want to read something to you here. Their wives had planned to sit together with their husbands at the Professional Football Writers annual dinner, where Gale Sayers was to receive the George Halas Award for the most courageous player in professional football. Instead of being at the dinner in New York, Brian Piccolo was confined to his bed at home. As he stood to receive the award, Gale Sayers, with tears running down his eyes, took the trophy and said, You flatter me by giving me this award, but I say to you here and now that the Brian Piccolo is the man of courage who should receive the George S. Halas Award. See, I love Brian Piccolo, what Gale says, and I'd like all of you to love him as well. He says, tonight when you hit your knees, please ask God to love him as well. You see, the Spirit of God, it enriches our hearts with this kind of love one to another. And I know sometimes it's hard to love others, but I want to give you a few points. I want you to write these down, okay? And here's a good that you can't do this without the Spirit of God. You can't do without the Spirit of God. Here we go. Accept others for who they are, and not what you want them to be. Before you came to Christ, Christ did not say, okay, I need you to change that, and then change that, and then, yeah, stop doing that, then come. He just loved us. Accept others for who they are, not what you want them to be. You see, love shouldn't break down when the other person doesn't live up to your expectations. Aren't you glad that God's love for us didn't break down because we didn't meet the expectations? Huh? And again, you can't do this without the Spirit of God living in you. All right? Be patient. Next one. Be patient with people's progress. Be patient with people's progress. How many have arrived yet? Oh, I'm arrived. I'm there. None of us have arrived, right? To enjoy people, you need to allow room and time for growth and development, and they're changing, right? So allow space and time for that. Don't be so hard. Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Listen, give people a break. None of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. All of us got issues. For those of us who are married, I'll speak about myself. I tried my best not to display any of my bad character traits to Ola while we were dating. Am I the only man here? Only till I kind of figured out that, okay, maybe I got this girl, that I let things slip out. We all got issues. I got issues today, right? And you do too. None of us are perfect. So give people a break. None of us have arrived yet. The next one. Connect with people who are hurting. There's nothing more comforting, and you can't do this without the Spirit of God. There's nothing more comforting than having someone with you when you're going through. You don't have to have every answer, but just being there. Romans 12:15 says this. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. The next one, desire what is best for others. Desire what is best for others. We had a phrase early in our marriage, Ola and I, and we would use the phrase, I'm not going to let you get the ups on me. Remember that phrase, Ola? It was a stupid phrase. And both of us had no idea really what marriage meant. But that is a stupid phrase. And you may not use that phrase, but sometimes some of your actions speak that phrase. That you got to get the ups on that person. Let me read this again. Desire what is best for others. I want what's best for Ola. She wants what's best for me. And it's all right if she's better at this than I am. Because the Spirit of God is in her and gives her certain gifts and talents he didn't give to me. Right? And together we complement each other to achieve whatever goal God has for us. Amen? I remember some years ago, I'm great in front of y'all, most times, but you know, Ola sees the real me, and one day she said to me, she said, I'm not your enemy, I'm on your team. I won't tell you what had happened before that. But she was trying to tell me, I'm for you. Huh? I'm not against you. And it took some time for the Spirit of God to work on me to understand she's for me, not against me. I don't have to get the ups on her or be superior than her. I mean, we joke quite a bit, me and her. We have good times together. We tease each other who's the best, who can cook this best, it better than, you know. I'm probably a little bit better than she is. Something. I'll probably be cooking for the next week or two myself. It's all right. See, it's not about what you can get. It's about what you can give. And I think Osby spoke this morning about it, about that love is always giving. It's not, I'm not worried about receiving. I just want to give. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. I love you so much. I know you're ruthless. I know you're a wreck. You messed up. But I love you so much, I'm going to give to you because I love you. You ain't got to clean up before. Just come as you are, and I want to save you because I love you. He gives. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the type of love that Christ has for us. That's the type of love the Holy Spirit wants to love in us and through us to other people. We want to be known as this group of people that love you no matter what. I may not approve of what you're doing, but I still love you. I don't like how you do that, but I still love you. I love you, and you can't stop me from loving you because I've got this love inside of me that's been given to me by the Spirit of God that I cannot help myself. If you're full of God, if you're full of his Spirit, watch this. If you're full, super full, you're going to end up leaking. And everywhere you go, you just leak. You just leak. If the Spirit of God is in you so much, you just leak. He just pouring into you so much, you just leak. You just, the love comes out. Why did you do that? I don't know. I just love you. You let folks go ahead of you in the grocery line. You're just leaking. Amen. You take someone's shopping cart back to the little shopping cart thing. You're just leaking. You let people go first. You're just leaking. You're kind. They talk about you, but you still smile. You love them. You know they tried to do you dirty at work, and they smile in your face, and you know they're the devil, but you still, I love you. Because you're leaking. Huh? Listen, you can't do this without the Spirit of God. You're just leaking. The Spirit of God you are so full of the Spirit of God, you just leak everywhere you go. You ever had a bag of something and you thought it was sealed, but had a little hole in it? And then you go from here to the garbage can and it's dripping? That's how your life is. There's a trail. You're just dripping and leaking. The Spirit of God, the love of God, just so full, it's overflowing. You can't help yourself. Why did you do that? I don't know. With the Spirit of God in you, you're just full. Hallelujah. You're just full of His Spirit. Watch this. The Spirit-filled life has to equal the Spirit-controlled life. The Spirit-filled life has to equal the Spirit-controlled life. I'll dance, I'll run, I'll shout, I'll pray in other tongues, and I do. But if I'm not controlled by the Spirit of God, it ain't Spirit-filled. The Spirit-filled life equals the Spirit-controlled life, where I am controlled by the Spirit of God. What I say, how I say it, when I say it, where I go, He's controlling me. I'm hosting His presence, and I'm giving preference to Him. Listen, when you walk as a Spirit-filled believer, you allow yourself to be limited by what He wants you to do. And you can walk in such a closeness with the Spirit of God that you can hold a conversation with Him. Glory to God. And you'll ask Him about such and such, and He'll give you direction to your mind. The reason we don't want to live this Spirit-filled life is we don't want to be controlled by anybody but ourselves. Huh? we're the biggest idol in our lives. Oh my goodness. Okay, let me. They put this new clock in the back, real bright, big, red. so I'll know when to stop. It's huge, right? Can I get about three more minutes? Okay, here the last point. Here the last point. The Spirit of God in you gives you a correct perspective about your life. The Spirit of God in you gives you a correct perspective about your life. You're looking at your life from this side. Ah, bills, marriage, whatever. But when you're filled with God's Spirit, He gives you a different perspective. And He says, look at it from this side. I say, wow, my life is good. The Spirit for life, he magnifies Jesus. So when you magnify Jesus in every area of your life, the troubles that are present no longer look big. Now they're small troubles. Amen? Because you have magnified Jesus. And when you compare your problems with the magnified Jesus, you don't trip on the problems. Because now you're seeing Jesus as this great God who can do anything. Amen? And so the Spirit of God in you gives you proper perspective on your situation. And it's no longer an issue. The bills are still there, right? Your son is still doing this. Your husband is still doing that. That is true. But how you look at it now is totally different, because now you look at through the magnifying glass of who Jesus is in your life. And Jesus says, I got this. The team sung today, I don't know how we're going to do it. Don't know how. I don't know. And in fact, listen to this. You don't need to know how He's going to work it out. All you need to know is He's going to work it out. My perspective has changed. And so I'm looking through my issues through the lens of who Jesus is. So you do got a problem. That's truth. We're not denying it. But what we're saying is, I'm comparing my problem to who Jesus is. And when I do this, my problems look very small. And so it gives me the ability to smile as I walk through the problems of life. And people will ask you, why are you smiling? You just got laid off. Which is true. I just got laid off. And from this perspective, dang, man, I'm going to do it. But then the Spirit of God says, well, look at it this way. I had to have you leave that place because I got this place for you. And so once you understand and look through the eyes of who Jesus is, I ain't worried about that job. In fact, I'm glad I'm gone. Proper perspective comes through the Holy Spirit redirecting how you look at things. Amen? Let me give you this one verse, and we're going to go. You know this already, but I will read it again. Hebrews 13, 5. Hebrews 13, 5. Do I have it? Get it for me if you have it. There it is. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, this is almost like a phrase that compares two different sides. Because you'll be tempted to love money. Right? Because you think that money will answer every question in every situation. And what the writer is saying is, don't love money. We use money, we love God. Right? We use money, but we love God. So don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have, because he understands what you need. Right? He cares about the sparrows. He cares about you. He does. For God has said this, I will never fail you. This is a unconditional promise that God makes. It's almost like a promise, yes, that we make to each other when we get married, right? We make those unconditional promises, right? It's not based on your action. I'm going to love you till death do its part, right? We've said that, okay? So he says, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. You could sell off of that. I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. I will never fail you. Who is saying this? God is saying this. The maker of heavens and earth. Huh? Huh? The great Jehovah. Right? He's made this statement about you. I'm not going to fail you. I'm not going to abandon you. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what they say in Washington or in Sacramento. I've got you. I'm not going to fail you. Don't worry. Don't trip. Huh? Don't get nervous. I got you. I'm never going to abandon you. Others may abandon you, but I will not. See, the Spirit of God, it illuminates that. It says, I'm never going to be left alone. God's got me. But he only has those who have made a decision to accept his son, the Lord Jesus, as their personal Savior. I want you to know, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, that statement there did not apply to you. This statement here did not apply to you if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. It applies to me. And watch this. It's not that I'm better than you, because I'm not. I've always said this. I've bettered my position. Because I once was unsaved. And now I'm saved, so I've bettered my position. I've still got issues. Right? And so I'm not better than anyone else. We're not better than the unsaved. Don't you dare walk around your community thinking that, oh, because they're unsaved, you're not better than them. You've bettered your position because you made a decision to accept the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. And in fact, we ought to love on them just as much as we can, because God loves them as well. He doesn't want anyone to perish. And so today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm going to give you a chance to accept him as your Savior. So this can be applied to your life. That you will know down deep in your knower that you're never going to be abandoned, and he's never going to fail you. Every eye closed, every head bowed for a moment. And there may be someone here today who doesn't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. I'm not talking about going to church. I'm not talking about reading your Bible. I'm talking about accepting the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, confessing him with your mouth, and believing in your heart that Christ came and died for me and rose again for me. If you're here and you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, I just want you to stand right where you're at. If you're here today and you want to accept the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, all these promises will then be applied to your life, and he'll never leave you. Abandon you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never fail you. I'll give you another moment if you want to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Don't believe the lie of the enemy. You have a chance to accept Him as your Savior. Yes. If not, let us all stand to our feet. Demetrius, you're going to come and you're going to close us out. I want to thank you for being here today. Thank you for our guests who are here. God certainly is good. And before Demetrius gives a final prayer, I got to emphasize again, be conscious of the Spirit of God resting upon you. Be conscious of the Spirit of God resting upon you. Give preference to Him in everything that you say and everything that you do, and He will guide and direct your life, Demetrius.
And let's go and let us pray. God, Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to gather here today, Lord. Thank you for the word that we have heard here today, Lord. We pray that the Holy Spirit will go out to each and every one of us, Lord, that you will guide us, Lord, direct us, and touch our hearts and minds, Lord, that when we go out into the world, Lord, that they can see us, Lord, that they can see your Spirit and your glory, Lord, our friends, our families, our neighbors, and strangers, Lord. And we can just give you the honor and glory, Lord, that you deserve. And we pray that everyone for here today, Lord, that they will go out back to the home safe and sound, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.